The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Yep. Gabe? Yes? What do I love more than anything in sports or whatever?
I told you so.
How do you tell somebody that you care about deeply, I told you so?
Hold on, I can't say that to her, but I can do it with a look.
Okay,
here's
so then,
the look.
So
I don't know if you guys... Here's the look, Jen.
Gently, with a rose, in a funny way, like it's... a hilarious joke.
The only positive out of this, the only positive, there's one positive. The only positive is I don't have to cook dinner while we're down here because there's nothing in the fridge.
Or do you just let it go? Because saying it would just make things worse. Probably the funny way.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride it, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They making plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stacked just like a mountain. You heard about it, she running around.
How long could you handle being roasted?
She's trying to hide it, I'm cool as ever.
You know, like, think of it in, like, terms of a run. Just off the top of my head. Like, you know how far you can sprint before your body down throttles, right? So whether it's a 60 or a 100 or a 200, or maybe one of those people can run a 400, heck, a mile. You know how much you can take before you have to throw it into a different gear. How much of a roast of you could you handle before there would start to be cracks, right? Before it would start to be like, oh, he's no longer laughing at the jokes at his expense.
20, 30 minutes.
Really?
At that point.
That's a long time.
At that point, the jokes are probably going to become repetitive.
Well, yes, that's what happens with a roast.
Yeah.
I mean, I watched the roast of Tom Brady last night, along with, it seems like, millions and millions and millions of other people. And it was incredible. It was hilarious. Now, I love comedy. I go to comedy shows. I watch comedy shows on Netflix and some of the other platforms. So this is right up my alley. This is right in my wheelhouse. And Tom Brady sat there and took it for an hour and a half, just like grinning through the jokes. And to your point, repetitive jokes, right?
Yeah.
Giselle. Can't move. You know, on the football field. It was Bill Belichick all along. He was gay. Like, the jokes were pretty much like one of five things.
Okay.
Am I missing anything? Was there anything you saw that, like, I know you didn't see the whole thing, but you saw clips and stuff. Was there anything else you saw that was like...
Not about him specifically. Again, a lot of the other jokes. Because then what happens at these roasts is everybody starts roasting each other. You know, like, the comedian will stand up and, yes, it's the roast of Tom Brady. But, well, Belichick's there, get a couple of jokes off about him. Kevin Hart's there, get a couple of jokes off about him. So the roast, yes, the main feature is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
But everybody starts making fun of each other, and that's just kind of the way these things work.
Yeah, I think it was Nikki Glaser who was like, we don't have a lot of time, so I'll keep this Kevin Hart.
Short.
Yep, a lot of short jokes at Kevin Hart's expense. It was very, very, very good. But Tom Brady did an excellent job of just, like, smiling through a lot of really... really pointed, painful. I mean, there were so many jokes about his divorce. So many jokes.
Oh, I mean, that's what these roasts are. I mean, it's a roast. It's supposed to be mean. That's the point to the whole thing.
Not all of it is appropriate for AM radio, AM sports talk radio, so you'll have to seek it out on your own for some of the jokes. But Max, who's joining us this morning as Josh DiMaggio has the day off. No big guy this week either here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Max, you had some jokes that you wanted to play this morning. Give us your best joke from the Tom Brady roast.
Tom also lost $30 million in crypto. Tom, how did you fall for that? I mean, even Gronk was like, me know that not real money. Like...
See, that's double dipping. That's not just a joke about Tom Brady. Also getting the joke in on Rob Gronkowski was also there. I'm sure there were approximately 1,292 Gronk is dumb jokes.
Gronk is dumb jokes and also the crypto jokes, right? Like, yeah. Kevin Hart opened the show saying the reason we're at the Kia Forum is because going to the crypto center would have been too on the nose. You know, like you know, would have been very difficult for Tom Brady to sit there because of what had happened. All right, Max, what else you got? What were some of your other favorite moments from the Tom Brady roast last night?
A lot of people, you know, kind of connected me with a saying called, you know, do your job, and telling people to do their job. Gronk, I've been watching you on Fox NFL Sunday, and I'm begging you, please, stop doing your job.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, no, that's it. The impressive thing is that Tom Brady could sit through the whole thing. Because I don't know of any other, especially highest level of sports, people that could actually sit through an entire roast of themselves.
I agree.
Because the ego that you need, the opinion of yourself that you need to be as great as Tom Brady was, kind of works in direct contradiction of, oh yeah, I'm going to sit back and watch these people make fun of me for the next hour and a half.
Well, and again, to bring it locally, like that was always the challenge with Aaron Rodgers, is he wanted to dish out the jokes, the ribs, the roasts of everybody else, and kind of like give the side eye or give the like knowing smirk. But then if somebody tried to kick it back, it was DEFCON.
You couldn't.
You know what I mean? So he was notoriously I almost said single. I guess also
true.
Single,
also true.
Sensitive is the word I was looking for. In the other sports spaces, who Peyton Manning could probably do it.
Yeah, Peyton Manning could do it.
Because he's become kind of that more known for his entertainment side of things at this point. And he likes being that the butt of the joke like, you know, being the funny guy. He could do it. Could anybody in the NBA space do it?
I think Giannis could, but also I don't know what the roast of Giannis looks like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know what we're making fun of Giannis for.
Free throws.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like the roast is going to be very short.
That's the end of the list.
Because the jokes just aren't there. Whereas Tom Brady, over the course of his career, there are a lot of
things. Years.
You know, you mentioned the divorce. Also had a very famous split early in his career. I don't know if anybody brought that up.
They did. Talking about leaving his pregnant girlfriend.
Yeah, I was about to say, you leave your pregnant girlfriend, that just opens you up for jokes.
Spygate.
Deflategate.
Yeah,
like, there are a lot of things in the Tom Brady, you know, he made his own documentary about himself. Like, I'm sure there are plenty of things for material. I don't see the material right now for Giannis. Aaron Rodgers, there's probably too much material.
But
At this point, there's too much material.
And people were wondering, like, what did Tom Brady get paid for this? And, you know, like, because that's all part of it as well. Like, for X number of dollars, you can sit through almost anything, right?
Yes.
Now, Tom Brady has made a lot of money as well, so his number is different than, say, my number, right? But at one point, Tom Brady made a joke at the end that was like, the league spent $20 million trying to figure out if I deflated balls or not. You could have just given me the $20 million. I would have told you I did it. You know, like, so he was able to joke at his expense as well. The only thing I will say is he's not as good at roasting as he thinks he is.
Well, no one is.
No one's as good at roasting. Well, Nikki Glaser's very good at
roasting. Except for the professionals.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Like the professionals. Because usually with these roasts, you have a lot of people who are not professional comedians. Even just like serious actors that try to sit up there and do it aren't very good. And it even takes a specific type of comedian. It's why you see the Nikki Glasers and the Jeff Rosses as the ones that always appear in these roasts, whether it's on Comedy Central or last night on Netflix, because it takes a very specific type of comic to be able to pull off some of the things and some of the jokes that they're telling.
So guys like Michael Jordan, who are watching clips of right now as they're talking about comparing Anthony Edwards of the Timberwolves to Michael Jordan right now, which, whoa, what are we doing? But anyway, I digress. Could Michael Jordan have ever sat up there?
Absolutely
like,
not.
Like, let's put together a power rankings this morning of athletes who could never. Top 10 athletes who could never sit through an hour and a half of having every, like, painful moment or every critical moment or sensational moment in one's life being picked apart by these comedians.
When you're somebody who invited the person who beat you out for varsity to your Hall of Fame speech, you're not sitting through a roast.
Which is funny because, and hear me out on this, some of these athletes come up following the blueprint of Michael Jordan, which is to take all of the slights and pile them in and use them as fuel to motivate them to greatness. That's what Aaron Rodgers did. You talk about the guy at the Hall of Fame thing for Michael Jordan. Everybody knows about the letter that Rodgers got that was like, good luck in your attempt at an NFL career. And he obviously is one of those people who collects slights. If you're collecting slights to use as motivation, I'm not sure then you can sit through slights for an hour and a half and chuckle along. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, those two things to me feel diabolically opposed.
Yeah, they're just, yeah, you're butting heads there. Athletes that could sit through a roast of themselves.
No, athletes who could never.
Oh, could never.
I feel like that's easier to make. That list.
Oh, yeah, it's a lot easier. That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to think of the ones, yeah. I mean, the ones that can't, yeah. MJ, no. Rodgers, no. Could Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, he feels like he could.
Because there's a lot of material there.
Yeah?
I mean...
Brother.
His family.
Wife.
But beyond that, the ketchup thing, I mean, maybe you make some jokes about ketchup.
Sure, but there's a lot with the brother and wife that you can really, there's more than just one joke
in,
to be made there.
On.
Yeah.
All right, so we're putting together two lists, it would appear, here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Guys who could, and athletes who could, and athletes who could not. Could Serena Williams? Could Serena Williams sit through a roast of her?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think she could.
800-990-3776. Give us your athletes who could sit through a roast, get through the hour and a half, and successfully laugh along, smile along. And you could drink as well. And Brady was certainly drinking last night.
You gotta numb it somehow.
Exactly.
Ease the pain.
And those who absolutely could not. Because again, there's a certain personality required. I think personally, watching the whole thing, what got Tom Brady through the roast, Gabe, was knowing at the end he would get the last quote-unquote laugh. I'm not sure he was as successful at it as he thought he was, but the idea of, I'll get you MFers, I think is what let him be like, it's okay, right? Like the mental toughness required to play football at a high level for 20 years is kind of what he was tapping into to sit there and have his marriage picked apart, his divorce picked apart. You know, at one point they were talking about how you don't even raise your own kids. You know, like, I mean, they were just going in on him. Alex Guerrero caught some strays. Not sure they were strays.
Yeah,
maybe
no,
they were deserved, depending on who you believe. But let's see. Ben weighing in saying, I don't think Favre could do it, but no. Pat Mahomes would be hilarious. 800-990-3770. Is there anybody you'd want to see roasted? Because the roast of Aaron Rodgers would be chef's kiss.
I don't want to see that.
Not even jokes, a little bit?
No, the jokes are too easy now. Like,
doesn't mean I wouldn't.
I mean, the roast of Aaron Rodgers pretty much happens on Twitter every time he talks on a podcast.
Sure, but there would be like a structured accumulation. You're telling me Kevin Hart, Nikki Glaser, Jeff Ross, you're telling me they couldn't come up with some really original?
I don't think they'd
want
to do it. I think that's too easy. There's no challenge there. These people like to challenge themselves.
Well, that was another joke that was made frequently, is that Kevin Hart has never turned down a paycheck. So,
well, that's the other thing. You start roasting everybody around you. Who else? Yeah, the Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I would want to see. I mean, I'm trying to think. I think Mahomes would. Mahomes, I think, could be fun. What about Travis Kelce? Do we think Travis Kelce would sit through one?
That would be good.
I think Travis Kelce could be really good.
For sure.
Especially, you know, if you get Taylor in there, she's telling jokes. You know, I think you could have fun with that.
There were some Eli Manning jokes. Peyton Manning came out and made some jokes at Tom Brady's expense. Tom Brady said, I'm so glad you could make it. You know, I know sometimes you live in Denver and sometimes you live in Tennessee, but you'll always live in my shadow.
That's a good one.
It was a good pop. It was not delivered as well as I would have liked to have been delivered by Tom Brady, but again,
he's not a professional.
I know, and that was the thing that I was like, oh boy, here we go. And then it was like, oh, this is... okay, chuckle. Yep.
It's
chuckle.
Basically how every roast ever has gone, unless it's a roast of a fellow comedian, like when they've done Arnold Schwarzenegger, when they've done, trying to think of some of the other ones. Like, I remember seeing one of like Tom Arnold, which was weird back in the day because, a lot of Roseanne jokes there. But Yeah, like unless you're a professional comedian ready to step up to that microphone, the rebuttal is never going to be great.
800-990-3776. You would also be pleased with how well Bill Belichick played along with the whole thing, right? Because obviously he has been criticized a lot lately. He is still out of a job. That was a joke that was made regularly. Do your job, more like need a job, which I had seen on Twitter, you know, with the Bill Belichick thing as well. So Max, you got another one there from Bill Belichick, who was also delivering the jokes at the Tom Brady roast last night on Netflix.
Seriously, I'm so honored to be here the roast of Tom Brady on Netflix. It's not to be confused with the roast of Bill Belichick on the 10-part TV series.
It's a good little pop. Not to be confused with the Apple TV series, which was basically an entire roast of Bill Belichick. Folks weighing in on our ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line this morning. Who could be roasted? Who could never be roasted? Petey Pablo weighing in saying Russell Wilson could never be roasted.
Oh, heavens no.
Absolutely not. He takes himself way too seriously.
Although, you know what would be really fun? A roast of Russell Wilson. There are a lot of good jokes there to be had.
Absolutely, but he would have to agree to it. Like, he'd have to sit there in the uncomfortableness.
We could just put, like, a cardboard cutout of him, right? Just all get together and make Russell Wilson jokes. I'd be in for that.
800-990-3776. Tiger Woods coming up a lot this morning.
Oh, he could never.
I think it's a could never. And also, LeBron could never. That from Jerry in the 414. Talk about ego. LeBron could never sit there and be criticized for an hour.
Brian Windhorst said that this morning on Unsportsmanlike.
Shaq could. Favre couldn't. That from Craig in the 443.
Oh, a roast of the inside the NBA crew. All four of them.
Yeah.
They would sit through it, and that would be a lot of fun.
Michael weighing in the 262 saying Shaq definitely could, and I think we should. That I agree. Charles Barkley could make it through a roast. That from yes. Ronnie in the 262. They basically have been roasting each other every night for years on NBA on TNT, to yeah. your point.
Which I'm trying to enjoy that show more and more because I don't know how much longer we have with it.
Yeah, I heard, like, because of the NBA yeah. rights, that show could be going bye-bye. But I heard that Ernie Johnson will stay at TNT. That's where he's been for several decades now. And so he would probably end up doing some of their other baseball coverage and some of the other properties that TNT has.
So somebody would have to trade for him. Like when Al Michaels got traded for to be with, like, if somebody's putting together an inside the NBA, or Turner would just have to be like, yeah, go do that show on Amazon or NBC, however often they do it, because they need, I think, all four of them. They need Charles, Kenny, Shaq, and he's the one who drives that engine.
Sounds like, based on the rumors that are out there, that Charles Barkley is going to get a pretty penny from whomever he lands with when that entire group does disband, if that is, in fact, what happens. We're asking you this morning about the roast of Tom Brady. One, did you watch it? I did last night. Stayed up way too late to see the whole thing.
What time was it on?
I think it was on at 7 hour time. Okay. We got in a little late. We put the kids to bed, and then we, you know,
fired it up,
cozied up on the couch, and, you know, I'm telling you, I was rolling on the floor. Just that, like, entire body laugh, right, where your body is just shaking from your head to your toes. It was a pretty good evening. Clint saying, I'm pretty sure there's already a roast of Shaq. Maybe there is. We could check that out and see. Tony Romo could. That coming from Bruce in the 262. Could Tony Romo handle a roast? I heard that when Tony Romo was being constructively criticized on his performance on CBS, right, when he took over the football gig, he did not handle it well. He struggled with feedback in that way. Isn't a roast just an hour of, like, wretched feedback?
Yes, that's one way to put it.
You know, just like,
this is not so much a roast. This is really a performance review, really, is what's happening.
We're trying to make it funny. So, you know, we get a few laughs out of it. Maybe it's not as bad as just telling you that you overall suck. 800-990-3776. We are going to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Keep getting us your roast suggestions. Who could be roasted? Who has the wherewithal, the thick skin, the comedic, you know, appreciation to be roasted, and who could never in the sports space? Jen, Gabe, and Chewy rolls on after this.
37. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
TBD.
No, not how this
works. Attaboy.
Attaboy. That's not how any of this
works.
That's
how you make content.
What do you mean? What do you mean? That's how it works for him.
What's TBD mean?
To be determined.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
To be determined.
Did you hear him say to be dumb?
To be dumb. Did Joshy say that?
He did.
On 94.5 ESPN. So get it on over, get it on me. I just want.
Lots of reaction rolling in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line this morning in response to the Tom Brady roast last night on Netflix. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch it yet, and if roasts are your thing, you enjoy comedy, I suggest you take some time, watch it. It was a really good laugh. I am pro laugh every day. Like, if you can find a way to like have like that, like very, what do we call it? Visceral, like a visceral laugh reaction. Now, obviously you have to prompt it usually with like a comedy show or something, you know, that, you know, will get you there. But
do you know somebody who's anti-laugh every day? There are people out there who hate laughing.
I just don't think that like, so what I'm trying to say is like, along with some of the other health and wellness things I do,
okay,
I find that laughter, especially like deep in your gut, like almost can't breathe, you know, ab aching laughter, feels very cathartic, therapeutic, healing, like all of those things.
So laughter is the best medicine.
So what I'm trying to say is I try to make an act, like actively seek it out every day, because I feel like it has health benefits as well. So along with the ginger shots,
sure,
and the good health sauna, and the working out and that type of stuff, I also encourage you
it's
to
on the
try
checklist.
To, yeah, try to get a good laugh in every day. Someone who could definitely handle being roasted is Chewy, that from our friend Chef Ed this morning. Clint saying Barry Bonds would be a good one. Dan Marino could. Scottie Pippen could not. I'm not sure about Alex Rodriguez or Jeter. Reggie Miller could. Alex Rodriguez, I have a big no on. No. Just
if you're making
not
people
want to be criticized.
If you're making people drop off their phone when they come into your house in a basket up front, my guess is you don't have the type of personality that's going to be able to handle sitting there and being the butt of jokes for an hour.
Could be roasted from Jay in the 262, Dennis Rodman, Marshawn Lynch. John Daly could not. John Daly could. Tiger Woods could not. LeBron could not. Maybe Big Poppy could. That from Petey Pablo in the 262. I want to make a pivot here to the Green Bay Packers very quickly. We want to talk about this article that came out this morning from Tom Silverstein, where he is talking about this narrative that is out there about the Packers moving on from Josh Myers. And here on this show, we have not committed to we think the Packers will move on from John Myers. All we know is we trust Rob Domofsky pretty implicitly with Packers content. And Rob Domofsky has gone on the record saying that they really like Zach Tom and actually think he could be, help me with the verbiage, is it all pro?
Yes.
Hall of Fame?
All pro.
All pro.
So he's a really good right tackle. They think he could be a pro bowler at right guard or at guard. And then all pro at center.
All pro, the distinction there is the best at your position on any given season at center. So, of course, you can't have two people playing center at the same time. It doesn't do you any good to have. What is the old thing about quarterbacks?
If you have two, do you really have one?
So, you would, if that was the thought, then you would move Zach Tom to center and Josh Myers would be on the outside looking in. But Tom Silverstein this morning puts out an article basically saying, like, those thoughts are premature. That, in fact, he says the Packers like Myers and they don't anticipate moving him out of the starting lineup. That from Spoon this morning. So if Spoon is right, and again, this is not saying that Rob Domofsky was wrong in what he said, because we have talked about the challenge of getting somebody to move from that position to that position just based on the money.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. By convincing a Zach Tom, hey, it's in our best interest if you play center. It's not in Zach Tom's best interest to play center. When you start talking about what tackles, especially right tackles, they're not making left tackle money, but that money is starting to get up there as well. You're not making the money that you're making at center. So convincing Zach Tom, hey, this is what's best for us and might not be best for you. So that would be step one. And step two is, okay, Zach Tom's also a pretty good right tackle. Do you have someone, is Jordan Morgan good enough to play and be as good at right tackle? Does that make sense? Because the one thing we know that the Packers are on the record for sure is they want the best five out there.
Right.
So what does that combination look like? It could involve Josh Myers this year. I'm guessing still, by the way, that Myers, much like Runyon, that this will be his last year in Green Bay. Like going into last year, yeah, John Runyon Jr. is a starter at right guard, but you knew he wasn't going to be back this year. Josh Myers might be the starter now, but I doubt he's starting at center next year. And so, I don't know if that means Zach Tom or somebody else.
Right, because they could obviously go out in the draft and get somebody. They could, you know,
like
maybe
they did this year,
go out and explore some free agency there at that position as well. The point is, right now, Tom Silverstein in this article on Journal Sentinel this morning is indicating that he thinks Josh Myers is not on the outside looking in. So, Gabe, I'm putting you on the spot here, and I know you haven't seen anything from Jordan Morgan, but what do you anticipate that starting five looking like this season?
I think Morgan's going to get worked in. I don't know how they feel. it seems like Sean Ryan is okay. They rotated him in last year, but I think that's the most vulnerable. I think there's a chance that Morgan starts at right guard, and then you see the other four being the starters we saw last year. So Rashid Walker at left tackle, Elton Jenkins not going anywhere at left guard, Myers at center, right guard would be Jordan Morgan, right tackle Zach Tom.
Is it important for them to get Morgan in this season?
I don't think it's super important. I think he's going to play regardless. He's probably going to be in the top six, and very rarely do we go through a season where the same five offensive linemen are playing every single snap. Like, injuries happen. And I know Jason brought it up around when Morgan was drafted a couple of weeks ago. Like, the plan with some of these other tackles that they've taken, like Brian Bulaga, who's been the most successful that they've taken, Bulaga wasn't starting right away. Took Tausch getting hurt to having Bulaga be inserted into the starting lineup, and Bulaga was also a first-round pick. So I don't think it's, oh, we have to get Jordan Morgan in there. And I don't think it's a bad thing, and I don't think it's an indication of, oh, Jordan Morgan can't play if he doesn't crack the starting lineup.
What's your preference as a Packers fan, though? Because you do have that blueprint that you just talked about with Brian Bulaga, so you could certainly follow that blueprint with a guy like Jordan Morgan as well and wait until one of the guys. Now, Tausch, obviously, very durable, and he obviously played for a very long time and very consistent at that position. But if they need to be moving guys around, is there any incentive to getting Jordan Morgan in early so he starts getting those valuable game reps, which we always talk about you can't duplicate in practice? Is there any value there? Or are you on the, hey, well, the longer you can sit your first-round pick, if those guys are holding up their end of the donkey, then let him continue learning and going through practice and getting reps there before you have to put him into the fire?
Yeah, if he's not one of their first five, best five initially when, you know, camp breaks and we're getting ready for the regular season, again, I don't think that's an indication that he's a bad player. I just think that's, hey, they actually have some pretty good depth. Now, I do have a hard time, without seeing anything from Morgan, I have a hard time believing that he won't be one of their best five, which is why I think he ultimately slots into that right guard spot. But his versatility, Zach Tom's versatility, that's what that's going to be important for them as the season moves along. So even though Morgan's getting those game reps at right guard, if he ends up having to kick out to tackle right or left, that's really completely different. So I'm really curious if they think that he can play four positions, like Goody said. How do they get him reps everywhere throughout training camp? All right, at what point is the left tackle, because they said they're going to start him out at left tackle, at what point is that left tackle competition over? You know, if he beats out Rashid Walker, then he's at left tackle, then he's at left tackle. But if Rashid Walker beats him out, okay, well, at what point now are you going to get reps? Because doing it at right tackle is different, doing it at right guard is different. So trying to move him around is going to be, to me, something that's going to be worth watching during training camp.
I think they have the luxury of using him on the twos, right? Like, so you have your ones that are running reps, and then yeah, you've got your twos. So if you can have him out there on the two line, which is where I anticipate him starting when they do start finally getting everybody out there for training camp. So then you're able to kind of move him around a little bit more there and just see how he handles each of the positions. I want to talk about, though, chemistry for a minute, because we talked about Josh Myers and we're talking about Zach Tom, and this Zach Tom thing feels like it was mentioned and then people kind of ran with it. But
yeah,
like, the chemistry between a new quarterback in Jordan Love last year and Josh Myers, you can't poo-poo that either, right? Like, if they developed a certain chemistry, I think of it like when I watch Chase's baseball games, right? You've got a rotation of like four or five quote-unquote starting pitchers. It's high school baseball. It's not exactly the same as, you know, college or the pros. But each of those guys has a catcher they like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they're not high enough where they can dictate it, but the coach does sort of defer to, well, this guy likes throwing to this guy, and this guy likes throwing to this guy. There are only two catchers. It's not like you got your pick of like five. So I wonder if Jordan Love has a say then in who ends up at center, just because of maybe a chemistry and a rapport they developed last season.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, yes, is that important, having that relationship? Absolutely. But you can have a really good relationship with somebody, and if they're not very good or somebody's better, like, you can't do it to the detriment of the team. Because I think, yes, having that relationship is important. I think it's more important that the center is accurate with his shotgun snaps.
Okay, so you just talked about the detriment of the team. Is there any part of you that feels like if the Packers were able to convince Zach Tom that him not being at center is to the detriment of the team? And sorry about the money situation, but if you're a team player, we need you in this role. They could convince him to move over there, even if the money disparity is pretty large.
I don't know. I have no idea. Because that's up to Zach Tom, right?
I agree with you on that.
I have no idea.
I don't want to tell him, like, hey, take a job that's not going to pay you as much as the other job because it's quote unquote in the best interest of the team. And yet, it feels like all these conversations we have, we sort of incentivize or reward or tell guys that they should do what is in the best interest of the team. So I don't want to talk out of both sides of my mouth here. I'm not sure which takes priority, is I guess what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Which does for you?
I would have a hard time telling Zach Tom, especially because he's played well at right tackle, that, hey, we're going to move you to center. I don't know how he would handle that. I honestly have no idea. My guess is he would be fine, but is there then resentment? Is there, okay, I'll play center here, but then somebody else could see me as a tackle and I leave in free agency? I don't know. That's always the tough part of that conversation.
If you win a Super Bowl, though... You know, if they say, hey, we think you're all pro at center.
Yeah.
And the team goes on to win a Super Bowl with you playing center, do you even have a leg to stand on? You know what I mean? You and that combination of five got this team to the Super Bowl, bringing home a Lombardi. I'd be like, I guess you were right.
Well, but now I can get out of here and somebody's going to pay me to play right tackle. Because it is significant.
What is the disparity? I think we need to look it up. We'll take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We got to look it up. The other thing I want to get to is you mentioned Jordan Morgan, Captain Morgan. And I want to talk about where we think he will have an impact. We talked about, obviously, on the offensive line. But of the three guys that were drafted in the first first two rounds.
Yeah, because they had 2 seconds.
Thursday and Friday. Those were the picks. Three in the first two. Who's going to have the biggest impact next year? Is it going to be Jordan Morgan? Is it going to be one of the other two guys? We'll get to that conversation and look up the disparity between center and the other position that Zach Tom plays right after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Never miss out on a second of the show. Find Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts with Wisconsin On Demand. Sponsored by Celsius Essential Energy Drink.
Five.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I don't know which is which, but here's what I
do. Yes, all right.
I take the plus and I put it to the plus. I take the minus and I put it to the minus. Easy.
Yeah, but the jacker things don't have that.
Yeah, they do.
Where?
Sure do. On the handles.
What's a jacker thing? Is it something that your wife keeps in the drawer?
You meant jumper cables.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Hey, little lady, I know you're feeling crazy. Woo. All your other friends are busy making them babies. Been out in the
Alan weighing in saying the guy you need at center has to be the smartest of the five. The center needs to pick up protection that the quarterback misses on. If you notice, C's aren't doing much of that with veterans. 800-990-3776, your reaction to our conversation about the offensive line, as Tom Silverstein has an article out there this morning saying, whoa, 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 not so fast on kicking Josh Myers out of the club. We haven't voted him off the island just yet, even though there have been rumors of maybe the Packers potentially thinking about Zach Tom at that position. So we put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. Who would you rather see at center this year in year number two of the Jordan Love era in Green Bay? We were looking up the disparity between the salaries. I'm guessing you're looking at like an annual average.
AAV, yeah.
So what is it between center and right tackle where Zach Tom currently plays?
If Zach Tom got a top 10 right tackle contract, he would still be making more than the top center. So it's a big difference. Right now, the highest paid center in the NFL, Jason Kelsey's listed here, but he has retired. So he had the highest at 14.25. Frank Ragnow, the center of the Detroit Lions, is now the highest paid center at $13.5 million per year.
Meanwhile,
over in the right tackle land, Penei Sewell just got a $28 million contract. So that's the highest contract for a right tackle.
28 to 13?
In terms of the highest paid at that position. Yes, correct.
All right, I guess you got the list there then, right?
Yep.
So if that's one, go down to five on centers. What are we at five?
19.
And go down to five at right tackle.
Oh, no. So right tackle is 19.
Yep.
The fifth highest paid center is 12.5.
Oh, yeah, it's big money difference.
Yeah, that's huge.
Across the board.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, we're seeing the gap getting smaller the further down we are going. Do you have 10s there? Do you have the top 10 center and the top 10 right tackle?
Number 10 center is $8.75 million, and number 10 on tackle is $15
million. God bless America. So even at the number 10 spot, if you were the 10th best center, you are making half of what the 10th best right tackle is making.
That significant money.
That would be a tough conversation to have. But hashtag best interest of the team. And that's where I wonder if the Packers don't have a leg up, if you can convince Zach Tom to be a team guy and say,
well, what would you do?
It's tough. I gotta take care of my family. You know? Who said
that's what
that?
I'm saying.
Is that Derrick Rose? Is that a Derrick Rose line? Somebody said it.
I think
it was
a Latrell Sprewell line, actually. Maybe. When he turned down the $40 million contract.
Right, might be right. Gosh, that is tough.
I mean, $7 million a year. $7 million a year. A year. So we're talking if you sign, you know, I would say like what, the average NFL contract's 4 years.
Okay, so let's just hypothetically this out, right?
$28 million?
In I like that we've been using like Candyland for in Gen World over here. In Gen World, if I want to be a host on ESPN,
yep,
right? Now I have to live in Bristol, so take it for what it's worth. But if I want to be a host on ESPN, they are making significantly more money than somebody like me who is primarily a reporter for ESPN. I know that I can host on a high level, but I also know that I can report at a high level. So all other things considered, yeah, I want to host. feels like that's sort of a no-brainer. Am I wrong? I mean, again, if they told me, like, Jen, this is what is in the best interest, let's just even pare it down a little bit more. College game day, right?
Yep.
You get a smaller family. It's not just the behemoth that is ESPN with all of the people. It is just college game day. And I say, I want to host college game day, and Reese Davis is not in the picture. And they're like, we want you to report on college game day. I'd be like, but Reese Davis is making X million dollars a year, and I'm not. You know, like, they would say, but it's in the best interest of the show if you are reporting.
But also, I feel like it would be tough for them to go to Reese and be like, hey, Reese, you're great, bud. You're great as this. And I mean, Reese Davis is
fantastic.
But we think you would be better as a reporter. Because that's what they would be doing to Zach Tom.
Yes.
Because Zach Tom's already at the position where he's making the money. And they would go to him and go, hey, for the best interest of the team, let's kick you over here.
It's tricky. I guess it depends on how much you've been drinking the propaganda of best interest of the team, right?
Yes.
I mean, honestly, like, what type of culture have you created on your show or on your team to maybe convince somebody that doing something that is not in their individual financial best interest would be in the best interest of the team? That is a tough one, man. Because, again, I understand people being like, thanks, but no thanks.
Yeah.
But I also feel like you're going to get judged for that.
Sure, go ahead. For $7 million, I can hit. For $7 million per year, which would be $28 million over a 4-year contract, I can take some judgments. Again, that's a lot of money. A lot of money that you would turn down to potentially move to the inside.
Mitch weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. How am I supposed to feed my family with that? Latrell Sprewell turning down a 3-year, $24 million deal. I don't know if that's gospel or if he's just making a joke.
No, that's truth. That is 100% true.
That's what happened?
That is what happened. And then Latrell did not get another contract offer after that. That was it. Somebody offered him 3 years, 24 mil, and then he didn't have a contract offer.
Can you imagine saying to anyone in a position of authority that signs your checks, how am I going to feed my family with that? Whatever the offer is.
What are you feeding your family for $7 million a year if that doesn't get it done?
So break it down, 12 months. That's more than $2 million a month, right? Are we doing this correctly?
Well, no. I mean, per year, it's like eight per
year.
So
it's half a million a month.
Yeah.
Right? Ish. So, I don't know. It goes pretty quickly. How many kids does Latrell have? Is he like a Cromartie?
I don't think he's at Cromartie level. I don't think he's reached the Philip Rivers level. Right. I think he's got a couple.
Yeah, that's not a good look. But to your point, like, there is something to be said for what type of teammate are you? So is there any chance that Zach Tom, by politely declining the offer to move over to that position, all of a sudden gets hit with a, yeah, but we asked him to do something that was in the best interest of the team, and he said no?
I think his teammates would understand. And this is where I wish we had the big guy here, and he wasn't on vacation today, because he's talked about before about, yeah, you don't really talk about other guys' money. And that's just not, something that you do publicly. But I'm sure when somebody signs a big contract behind the scenes, whatever, maybe you talk to your closest friends on the team or you're talking to your family about it after you get home from practice that day. But I think his teammates would understand that, yeah, that's the high money position. Like, why would you, in the prime of your career, after having the year you had last year, be like, yeah, I'll move to center. I'll willingly take less. Because that's what you're doing if you move to center. Because you're not going to move back from center. Like, once you're there, that's the one position where you don't want to, you know, the Packers rotated in left tackle last year, right guard. You're not rotating centers in and out. Like, that's a position, and you want to have the stability no matter what across your offensive line. But that's,
but particularly, again, that chemistry and that rapport with the quarterback is important.
When you're juggling around offensive linemen, the four around you are being juggled. Like, you are going to be there. It's not like, well, our right guard got hurt, so we're going to kick you over to right guard, bring in somebody else to play center. No, they'd probably bring the other guy in to play right guard and keep you a center.
Ryan from Milwaukee weighing in on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line saying, I think it's more likely they let Myers walk and replace him with the center Monk, Jacob Monk, that they just drafted, the kid from Duke. That's Goody's MO. Tom will stay at tackle. Morgan will battle with Walker, but eventually he will get the job. And Justin weighing in saying his teammates would not judge him, and that's all that really matters. 800-990-3776. We put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy poll. Who do you want to see at center this year for the Green Bay Packers? Also want to get to which of the top three drafted by the Green Bay Packers will have the most immediate impact this season for the GBP. We'll talk about that after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You know how much I love X-Golf, especially X-Golf at American Family Field. Maybe I need to stop in, just kind of get some things worked out with my swing. That's a great place to go because of the state-of-the-art simulators that they have, giving you the feedback that you need. Or maybe you need a lesson. Stop in, say hi to my pal Andy Barrett and get a great lesson. But new this year with X-Golf at American Family Field, game day can be different for you because you can combine sim time and game tickets. You can purchase it all together on the single game tickets websites for the Brewers. That means you can get all the great food and beverage options, great views of the field out there in right field, of course, Bernie Slide right next to you as well. Speaking of Bernie Slide, if you hit a hole-in-one this year at X-Golf, American Family Field, playing a regular round, none of their little contests that they have, like beat the pro, on the driving range, putting course, all those sorts of things. If you make a hole-in-one playing a regular round of golf at X-Golf at American Family Field, you and someone else get to go down Bernie's Slide. Find out more. Book your sim time today. X-Golf, AmFamField.com.
Today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, it'll change your life. Everything, any barbecue you eat for the rest of your life will be measured against Bucky.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Are you listening? Whoa. Sing it back. Oh.
This is the thing that happens to me on Mondays. I'm overwhelmed with content. I have so many things that I want to talk about and I want to discuss and hear your thoughts on and hear our loyal listeners' thoughts on, that at this point in the show, I get a little antsy because I'm like, oh, so many more things to talk about. And I don't want to waste a segment, but also this is going to be a 3-minute segment, so I don't really want to dive into one of these, you know, more interesting conversations. So instead, I'm filibustering. That's what I'm doing right now. Literally, like, purposefully wasting a segment because I have so many things I want to get to in the second hour of the show, but I want to give each of the things their full due of, you know, a solid segment.
All right, so then let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Because I've been, you know, doing different things, own the house now, we got a dog, doing these different life things.
Some would say you're doing all the things, Gabe.
Yeah, so I think I really realized over the weekend, and I already kind of knew this, but I think the official sign of you being washed is when you sign up for that Costco card. When you sign up for the Costco club membership, yeah, now I'm washed.
No, you are now smart, brilliant, resourceful. What are you talking about, washed?
Yeah, washed.
The Costco card is the key to all of your future happiness, Gabe.
If that's the key... to my future happiness. It sounds like you already realized that if you've got the Costco Club membership, and look, they even got me. Like, they got me all the way. I've got the credit card for Costco.
Well, first of all, you got to have the credit card because the cash back.
The cash back is fantastic.
Huge. They cut that check for you. I mean, there are days where I am like going to the mailbox and be like, nope, not here yet. Nope, not here yet. Where is that check? I want to go to Costco.
I mean, I was looking for a new credit card anyway, and yes, they enticed me with all the cash
the
back
gas,
that they have. Yes,
right?
The gas is super
perks?
Cheap
I mean,
out there.
Come on. Why, I mean, listen.
But this is what I'm talking about. These are the conversations you have when you're washed.
No, you're not washed. You're just grown. That's okay. You're making
AKA
smarter.
Washed.
No, you're making. Don't make these synonymous. These are not synonymous. Max, you be careful back there.
Max, you're
you
a younger.
Be careful with those hotkeys back
you're
there.
You're a younger gentleman.
Well, that's the thing.
This just makes me happy that I'm in my 20s. You don't have to worry about any of this.
That's what I'm saying. When you're in your 20s, like Max is, you're not sitting there dreaming about getting the Costco membership
but
so
you
can
be.
Save
but you
on
be. That's
wholesale
you
prices.
You should be dreaming about getting the Costco membership because that sucker is gold, okay? I love going to Costco and buying steak in bulk and buying plates in bulk and buying Gatorade in bulk. I mean, this is where my family is now. There are five of us. You could argue six because of Dario because he's a healthy boy.
He's growing.
Like, so I'm all about getting all the things as inexpensively and as many of them as possible.
Yeah, that means Jen.
What I'm a little concerned about
is
it's just you and your wife.
Yeah. Well, so when we got the dog, the dog brand food that he liked was the Costco brand. So then our friends have a Costco membership, so I went out with them to get it the first time. Then my mom was in town for the Brewers game last week, went with her to get it, and it's like, all right, I should just sign up for this thing. If I'm coming out here for the dog food anyways, and there's other things then you can get at Costco. Again, the card is fantastic.
They got it.
But
they
yeah, exactly. But you know what that means, Jen? Washed.
No, you're not.
It's over.
We're going to put it on the
it's
poll.
It's done.
Washed.
Gabe got his first Costco card over the weekend. Is he washed or is he grown? Okay? Put it on the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter poll. And thank you very much for helping me fill that segment so that I can focus my attention in the second hour of the show on all of the things that I want to talk about. More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy right after this.
More Jen, Gabe, and Chewy coming up on 94.5 ESPN.